You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here as always with David Ramil. We've got a jam-packed show for you guys today. David, we're going to do a pretty interesting draft, mock draft, leading up to the NBA draft, but it's not with the NBA rookies, not with the prospects, but with the all-time Miami Heat players. We got the idea in our mailbag, and we saved it for just to blow it out in one giant podcast. And that's what we're going to do. How are you, is your big board set? Do you feel like you've had enough time to scout? Are you prepared?
Yeah, I mean, a few years worth of watching Heat teams, I think I'm pretty qualified to make a choice. And hats off to Lee Seaton for submitting the idea, one of our listeners who actually submits questions regularly. And he actually had a few options on how to tie in the draft to make it Miami Heat-centric. And this was the one that we thought was most appealing. So I am really looking forward to, and I have no doubt then my team will be the superior one.
So this is what we're going to do, 11 rounds. David will have the first pick, I'll have the second pick, and it'll kind of like fantasy football snake draft afterwards. So then I'll have the third pick, David will have the fourth pick. 11 rounds, 10 players, one head coach, and that's how we're going to do it. But before we get into all of that, just a couple of news points really quick. Miami Herald's Barry Jackson is reporting that Justin Jackson, the UNC forward who has been linked to the Heat by us and by plenty of mock drafts and things like that, he will be having a workout with the Heat on Thursday. Expected that this would eventually happen, but I think this is a good sign if you're a fan of Justin Jackson's. David, what do you think?
Well, I mean, we talked about it before. He seemed like a player who could potentially add value at 14. You know, we broke down how he's made severe climbs over the course of his collegiate career. He's a little bit older, so maybe the upside isn't as appealing to some people. But, I mean, I think, and I think you think as well, that he does have immense offensive potential. And he's also pretty good defensively as well. And the way that he's worked seems like he would be a pretty good fit, at least culturally speaking.
Yeah, I'm in on Justin Jackson as a value pick. If the Heat have the 14th, when the Heat have the 14th pick, they're on the clock, and guys like Lauri Markkanen, maybe Zach Collins, Donovan Mitchell, if they're not on the board, then I'm all in on grabbing a guy like Justin Jackson, who's got a pretty low floor. That 3-point shot I think is going to translate. He made 37% on more than 7 3-point attempts a game. Granted, it was in college, but he showed off some college range or NBA range, even in North Carolina. The 2.8 assists, that's really special to me. He's a really underrated passer. He's got great feel for finding teammates, who, particularly guys that are cutting near the rim. I think he's just going to fit into a motion flow offense, which is with the way that the Heat run that drive and kick offense with Goran Dragic and maybe Dion Waiters if he were to resign next season. Justin Jackson will be able to step right in, be a catch-and-shoot guy immediately, and then grow within that role to take guys off the dribble, show off some floaters and stuff with his length. He's got a near 7-foot wingspan. He can get the ball over guys. I just think it fits, and when you think about what the Heat need, which is just more shooting, always more shooting, and length on the perimeter at that position where 6'4/6'5 Rodney Magruder was starting at small forward, if you can get a guy that's kind of creeping towards 6'11, 6'10, with that long reach. Just having that kind of size is a big upgrade. And defensively, I mean, Justin Jackson, offensively, he gets all the attention. But defensively, like you said, he doesn't get a whole lot of attention, but he's really solid on that end. And he's just got those long arms that can kind of disrupt passing lanes and do all of that kind of stuff that I think the Heat are really looking for. He doesn't have the highest ceiling, like you said. Right. But if you're at 14, if you just want a guy who could just – you're not looking maybe for a franchise-changing player, but just a guy who could step in and play a role, Justin Jackson's the guy.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, not the sexiest pick, but certainly an efficient one.
So in other news, Pat Riley, Magic Johnson, old friends, got together on stage in L.A. recently – and part of a conference, and they were asked by somebody from ESPN, are you guys going to work together? You guys are both now front office guys. Are you guys going to work together in trade talks? And Riley basically said, probably we're going to get on the phone. And at that point, I'm going to basically take Magic for the treasure he's got or something
Something to that effect.
Yeah. And which is not surprising. I mean, right. I think that you and I have already talked about just in rumors, you know, when is Riley going to call up his buddy Magic and say, all right, let's work something out. That plus this recent rumor with the Lakers, Sam Smith of NBA.com, who covers the Bulls for NBA.com, was asked in one of his mailbags, because a lot of people do mailbags, not just us, if they thought, you know, if the Bulls would be willing to trade the Lakers for one of their young players, because we've heard guys like D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle be mentioned in trade rumors. And what Sam Smith is reporting, and he's very connected, what he's reporting is that those guys are more gettable than I think a lot of people think, because the Lakers are trying to shed one of those two salaries of Timofey Mozgov and Luol Deng. And if you're willing to take one of those two guys, chances are you're going to be able to also get possibly Russell and or Randall as kind of like the bonus. That's your reward for taking a nice young player, as a reward for taking those big egregious contract of Deng or Mozgov, which got me thinking after the Heat or after Riley was talking to Magic, would he be willing to take on that sort of contract?
Well, we addressed that in our most recent podcast, or one of our three-part podcasts most recently, when somebody asked whether or not D'Angelo Russell was on Miami's radar. And while I have no doubt that he would be a nice piece and complimentary, we also pointed out before we even heard the explanation from Sam Smith that he'd likely be attached to either one of those bigger contracts. And then we also broke down that Miami's probably unwilling to take on either of those. Of the two, having played with, you know, having had Luol Deng on the roster for a couple seasons, I'm sure that they realized his limitations and they were unwilling to match the salary offer that he received from Los Angeles in the first place. So I can't see a Deng return anywhere in the future. Mozgov is a possibility. I don't think he's necessarily as bad. He's still young. He provided some rim protection for the Cavaliers during their title run. He just got a huge offer from L.A. He's somewhat limited. Obviously, he's not the kind of offensive player that you're looking for out of the center position any longer. But if you do acquire a guy like Mozgov, chances are it would be first of two trades, one probably moving Whiteside elsewhere, either for draft picks or another superstar backcourt player or something along those lines. We've talked about the possibility of shipping Whiteside to Portland, perhaps in exchange for CJ McCollum or something like that. So we're talking about a major roster of people. If you take, let's say, Julius Randle, who fits in pretty nicely at the four. You had a great piece at the start of last year looking at Randle as the Lakers' potential Draymond Green version. And, you know, we've heard that link in comparison for Justice Winslow. Randle's the guy who actually can do it. He's a good rebounder. He initiates a fast break. He's a hell of a passer at his position, too. He's got size. We've seen recent pictures on Twitter of him having gotten, you know, shredded over the last few weeks where he lost like good 10 to 15 pounds, it seems like. So he seems like he's ready and committed to take his game to the next level. So if you take a guy like Randle, you acquire Mozgov, and again, maybe a CJ McCollum type or something like that, you're talking about a completely revamped roster. And maybe one that's slightly better. I'm not sure exactly how it fits in. Again, Randall's an interesting case because he's in his fourth year. He's entering restricted free agency next season. So you've got 1 year, and he has 1 year to really show what he brings to the table.
So I agree with everything you just said, and I love Julius Randle. I actually wrote that post about the Draymond Green comparison before the season, and then right. I basically did a refresh of that same story during the season after Randle was kind of their Draymond Green, you know, poor man.
Hey
Draymond
guys,
Green.
Remember me? I wrote this. I knew he was going to be Draymond Green. Here's proof that he is actually like
yes,
Draymond.
That's literally the second post that I'm doing, and that's what I'm bragging about right now is that I did write those things.
Excellent.
But I love Julius Randle. He's still on that rookie contract, but he's going to be due up for an extension. And the Lakers, obviously they want to shed Deng and Mozgov because they want to go chase Paul. They have to get rid of one of them, if not two of them, but preferably two of them. They have to get rid of at least one of them to even have a chance at Paul George next summer. They're desperate, basically. But they also might think about getting rid of Julius Randle because he's going to be up for his second contract for an extension. They might not be willing to pay that. And rather than let him walk for nothing, might as well attach him as opposed to maybe, you know, the second pick in the draft this year. Maybe they're better off attaching Julius Randle now to Deng or Mozgov to shed one of those salaries. That makes sense. So here's my proposed trade. Miami gets Timofey Mozgov, and he's going to be making $15.2 million next year, $16 million the year after that, $16.7 million the year after that. They get Mozgov, they get Randall, and they get the 28th pick in the draft, and they get a 2018 second-round pick from the Lakers. And the Lakers get Josh McRoberts. That's it. They get McRoberts plus all of the cap relief they've ever wanted. They don't have to part with their second pick in the draft, which is a big, you know, other teams that can absorb Mozgov and Dang this year, those are like, that's like the Philadelphia 76ers, right? They're going to have $50 million in cap space. They could absorb that, but chances are they'd want to swap, you know, the third pick for the second pick so that they can move up and get Lonzo Ball. But if the Lakers are sold on Ball, then it makes sense to make that trade, right? You just get rid of all these players, wipe your hands clean of it, and you really don't lose a whole lot. You lose Randall in the short term, but you know you're not going to pay him later. And you get rid of that Mozgov deal. So maybe that's something that Miami can kind of do there. Now, you're right. Taking on a contract like Mozgov really prohibits what they can do now in the following off seasons. But we already know that this is the off season for Miami to make a move in the first place, right? Like, Tyler Johnson's contract balloons next summer. They're not really going to have cap flexibility.
Right.
So what's the difference if you're paying Mozgov? The only difference is if Gordon Hayward is willing to sign or if you want to make a run at Blake Griffin or Paul Millsap. And by getting Mozgov now, you're eliminating yourself from that game completely. However, Miami is going to have between $36 and $40 million in cap space. They can they're going to have some of the most cap space available of any team this summer. They have the room to absorb Dang or Mozgov, and I think you take Mozgov in this situation because his contract is a little bit, it's not as big as Dang's, right? It's about $2 million less in each of the next three seasons, which is a nice little chunk of cash. But if you're the Heat and you know that you're not getting a big free agent, you might as well just use the cap space. I broke it down. If they did this trade and they include McRoberts into it, they'd still have about $29 million in cap space if they waive Wayne Ellington or include Wayne Ellington as part of the deal that and just move him to the Lakers. They'd have $28.9 million, nearly $29 million in cap space. You could still pay Deion Waiters and James Johnson. It's possible to re-sign both of them if one of them is willing to take a discount or both of them, or at least get Waiters back, and you don't need James Johnson as much because you have Julius Randle, who is basically a younger version of James Johnson with more upside.
Now, you're a fan of Randle's. Do you think he's worth absorbing that kind of Mozgov money just so you can get that potential and that talent on the roster?
Well, you're also getting the 28th pick in the draft. You're keeping the 14th pick in the draft and possibly a second rounder next year. So with all of that, I think it's absolutely worth it because you're basically you're only taking on Mozgov, but you're getting a nice young player in return and another first round pick. So you can have basically if Miami already knows they're not in the running for Gordon Hayward, right?
Right.
Why just like the only thing you're giving up is cap space that is not going to be there next year anyway. You're basically only giving up your run at Gordon Hayward, which is not going to, in all likeliness, not going to happen anyway. So you're just giving up some temporary cap space. And in return, you're getting a young player in Julius Randle and an extra first-round pick. So you're going to be able to add Randle, the 14th pick in the draft, and the 28th pick in the draft. Or you could take the 14th pick in the draft and the 28th pick in the draft and package those two things together and maybe move up in the draft. Or move around. I don't know. But yeah. It just gives Miami a lot more options, and all they're doing is getting rid of some temporary cap space. So it takes them out of the running for big-name free agents, but if they're not into those big-name free agents, as they may or may not be, and if they're not getting from their intel that Hayward has, if they have any chance of Hayward, I think you might as well do it. Now, the other option is, you mentioned if you get Mozgov, maybe that paves the road down for a Whiteside trade, but what if you traded Tyler Johnson? Because his cap is going to be even higher than Mozgov's next year. If you're able to flip Tyler Johnson, all of a sudden that Mozgov deal, he's making $4 to $5 million less than what Tyler Johnson's going to be making next year. It becomes a lot easier to swallow at that point. So I've got a new trade idea. Miami gets Mozgov, Randall, and the 28th pick in the draft.
Okay.
The Lakers get Mick Roberts and Gerald Henderson from the Philadelphia 76ers. Philadelphia gets Luol Deng and Tyler Johnson. And Miami also gets two of Philly's four second round picks they have this year that they're probably going to sell off anyway. Right? Because they can't add four second round picks. They're probably going to sell those picks for cash considerations. So Miami gets two of those second round picks. They have the 36th, the 39th, the 46th, and the 50th pick in the second round in this draft. So Miami gets out of Tyler Johnson. The Lakers get rid of Mozgov and Deng, clearing the books for Paul George and maybe LeBron James. They can make a run at LeBron at this point. And Miami gets Mozgov, Randall, the 28th pick, and a bunch of second-round picks. And they get rid of Tyler Johnson. So, and then at that point, you could still get rid of Ellington. Miami has $34 million, $34.8 million. You could do that and still make a run at Gordon Hayward.
Look, I mean, I feel strongly about being able to move Tyler Johnson's contract however possible. I just don't think he's going to ever be a player worth $20 million. I mean, that might change, but I don't see it, to be honest with you. I just can't see how Philadelphia would be willing to accept Deng's contract. I can see a case where they'd probably be willing to accept Tyler Johnson's because he's young and he fits the right window and he provides some versatility there. And you know, he's a good defensive player, so I could see that. Although I guess they're trying to re-sign Robert Covington too, so that's an interesting issue. But as far as acquiring Mozgov, to me, if you're going to have a $15 million player or making more than that next season, you have to free up some playing time for him, and the only way you do that is by moving Whiteside. And I don't want to have anything to do with Mozgov.
I think you just pay Mozgov the $16 million and just say, look, we're going to eat this money. He's our backup center. We don't have to worry about a backup center for the next 3 years. We're good. It's not like they paid him $16 million. The Lakers did, and they're just doing him a favor. It's, you know what I mean? Like, it's not – who was it, Andreas Bjedrins that was making, like, $13 million or something crazy when Utah traded a first-round pick to the – or the Warriors traded a first-round pick and attached to Bjedrins to go sign Andre Iguodala? It's like, it's not like Utah all of a sudden started playing Bjedrins. They just left him on the end of the bench because they're like, well, we got a first-round pick out of you just sitting here. So,
yeah, I don't know.
You can play 15 minutes a game as the backup center.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, but they're talking about giving Willie Reed, who's, I don't know if he's better. He's not better than Mozgov, I think, although he has more upside. But they're talking about giving him the mid-level exception for like $4.5 million. I don't see why they'd want to pay a backup $15 million.
Because you're getting Julius Randle and a bunch of draft picks.
Who you have to re-sign next season anyway.
Right, but the Heat don't have any. I would rather have Julius Randle than Willie Reed.
For a season, though? Because you're not going to be able to re-sign him in 2018?
You could re-sign him. Why not? They have his rights.
Because they have a ton of money committed to Whiteside and Mozgov. I mean, you'd have to move Whiteside eventually.
They're going to go. I mean, if they're comfortable going over the cap, which, I mean, you've got you're already paying Tyler Johnson more than you're going to pay Mozgov next year anyway. So you're basically getting rid of that $20 million salary, replacing it with a $16 million salary, and you have the rights to Randall because you're trading for him. So you could go over, you could pay him whatever it's going to take to pay him. And if they don't want to re-sign James Johnson, then you might as well just extend Julius Randall. And at $34 million, after all is said and done, what if they can sign Gordon Hayward? And then you're looking at Dragic, probably Josh Richardson at shooting guard, Hayward, Randall, Whiteside, with Winslow and Mozgov coming off the bench. And Magruder, I guess.
I think your love of Julius Randall is blinding you. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Okay, so now on with the all-time Miami Heat draft. So just to go over the rules again, 11 rounds, 10 players, a head coach. 11 rounds. David has the first pick. I have the second pick, and then we'll snake draft it after that. What other rules? Oh, we're assuming this game is being played today, but with the players as they were with Miami.
When they were, yeah, that's right. It's not. It's particularly cases like Gary Payton. You're getting mid-aughts Gary Payton when he was on the roster, not mid-90s Gary Payton when he was the glove and harassing Michael Jordan, etc.
And there's really no roster limits. We're not setting it to where you have to, like, we're just, like, if, for example, you know, you want to play Dwayne Wade at point guard or whatever, like, there's not, sure. Like, you have to pick a certain, like, we're kind of free-balling this as far okay. as free positionless basketball.
There you go.
All right, so without further ado, you have the first pick. Who's it going to be?
All right. Well, you know, I was closely guarding who I was going to take with my first pick. There are a lot of factors here. Obviously, I think for our listeners, it's probably no shock that I'd want to pick somebody who means so much to the franchise and has been here for 13 years and is a game changer, et cetera. But I decided to scratch all that. Of course, I'm taking LeBron James.
I was a little worried when we first discussed this idea. I thought that I was like, well, you'll take – we kind of decided you would end up with the first pick. And I was like, all right, well, you're going to take LeBron, so I'll start thinking about what I'm going to do with the second and third pick. And then you immediately were like, well, I don't know. And you kind of freaked me out. You kind of had me
– I threw you off.
Yeah, you threw me off your scent a little bit. But how do you not go with LeBron? I mean, I know that
that's right.
There's Dwayne Wade there. There's Alonzo Mourning there. Like, all-time Heat great players. But that's not what this is. This is a draft to build the best team of all-time Heat players. And it makes total sense to go with LeBron James.
Yep.
So with the second pick, I'm going to take Dwayne Wade.
Wow.
I mean,
that's a no-brainer.
Do we even explain it? No. Third pick, I'm taking Chris Bosh.
Ooh, that hurts.
This is the first surprise of the draft. Look, I could take, there's so many guys that I could take at this point. Hardaway, Mourning. I'm taking Chris Bosh because of his versatility. I'm taking him because he was the unicorn before unicorns were cool. He was a stretch five who can hit three-pointers at not just a respectable but a good rate. I mean, there was a period there where he was, right before Ray Allen signed, he was the best three-point shooter on the Heat. Chris Bosh, because of the way he can not only just defend centers, but defend every position on the floor. I love how versatile he is. He's an elite defender who could defend all five positions. He can hit threes for me on offense. He opens up the floor for Dwayne Wade. I'm getting Dwayne Wade, right? And I'm not getting 2013 Dwayne Wade. I'm getting Dwayne Wade. I'm getting Flash. You pair him, like, from 2010 with Chris Bosh from, like, 2012, 2013. That's something we didn't see during the Big Three era. And that's what we're getting. So I think the opportunity to get Wade and Bosh on back-to-back picks was too good to pass up, and it opens up everything else that I can do with this roster. It doesn't pigeonhole me into anything for the rest of the draft. So who do you have with the fourth pick?
Well, with the fourth pick, knowing that you've got Chris Bosh, a player who can fit in either the fourth or fifth spot on your roster there or in the lineup, I decided I had to go with the best rim protector available, Alonzo Mourning. He's my fourth pick in the draft. I think he can switch on. He can guard guys at the perimeter. He can keep Bosh from getting comfortable down low. And I think he's just – obviously, I think he's a great fit offensively as well. Perfectly complementary. The lobs from LeBron to Alonzo will be ridiculous.
I mean, that scares me. I mean, you think about what LeBron has with Cleveland now. And, like, yeah. Tristan Thompson is playing this rim protection role and kind of the pick-and-roll roll man thing. And Tristan Thompson's very effective at it. He's a great rebound. He's probably the best rebounder in the NBA right now, despite what's happening in the finals. He's a great screen guy. But Alonzo Mourning is all of that on steroids. Plus, the leadership skills of Alonzo Mourning with LeBron is very scary.
So that means I get the fifth pick as well, correct?
Yes.
So with the fifth pick, knowing that you took Chris Bosh, who I was really – really hoping would slide to number four. I'm actually taking a guy who I think has a lot of potential, only played here for a short while, but I think from what we saw of him later in his career, he's a guy who would match up very nicely, both defensively and has a good skill set, I think, to fit offensively. I'm taking Lamar Odom with the fifth pick in the draft.
You're killing me here. That's who I had earmarked for my next pick. I love Odom. I mean, for the 1 year he was here, he was just super versatile. I'm actually really upset that you just picked Odom.
Yes.
I'm really upset. So
good to hear that.
That throws off what I want to do a little bit here, but probably with this pick, then I'm going to go with Eddie Jones.
Ooh, that is a really interesting choice.
Look, you've got LeBron. So far, I've got Wade and Bosch, right? I've got Wade and Bosch. I don't have anybody that right now could defend LeBron. Wade, at his peak, was a very good defender. Bosch is a very switchable defender, but I don't have anybody that can go straight up isolation. I really wanted Odom because he could go straight up isolation with LeBron. Odom was a tremendous defender. I mean, in his length, at like 6'11", he could play anywhere between the 3 and the 5. That's who I wanted to go up against LeBron. But with him off the board, I got to go with the next best guy, Eddie Jones. He's a long defender. He's 6'6". I couldn't find his wingspan anywhere, but I bet it was at least 7 feet. He was long. I think Eddie Jones, he's like a 3-and-D potential guy, so he's going to hit some three-pointers for me. He can put the ball on the ground and create off the dribble and attack closeouts. But mostly, he's my dude that's defending LeBron. So I've got Eddie Jones here. And then he's on the board. I'm going to go with Tim Hardaway.
Ooh, yeah. Interesting choice.
So I'm going with Hardaway. He's a guy who could create for me offensively, so it takes the ball out of Dwayne Wade's hands a little bit. We know how good Dwayne Wade could be as a cutter, so it opens up the floor for him to do that. He's a tremendous three-point shooter. He could play with pace. So now I've got a backcourt of Tim Hardaway, Dwayne Wade, and then I've got Eddie Jones and Chris Bosh. And now it's your pick.
Okay, so with this choice, what pick is this now? Or this is the sixth pick?
The eighth pick.
No, it's actually eighth pick, correct. All right, so with the eighth pick, knowing that you picked Hardaway, I feel like it's important for me to build my backcourt. And so I'm taking arguably the best point guard in Heat history, because I think he certainly compares now after the season we just saw. Goran Dragic, the Dragon, will be my point guard of the future. I think he plays perfectly with guys like LeBron and Lamar Odom, both of them who are playmakers. Both of those guys can drive to the rim. I think as good as Hardaway was as a catch-and-shoot player, I think Dragic is much, much better. And I think his ability to create there, I'm loving the opportunity for Dragic to drive to the hoop and kick out to a wide-open LeBron James in the corner or Lamar Odom there. There are so many possibilities. Again, that pick-and-roll combination with Alonzo at the top of the key seems like a perfect one. You can do so much with Goran and his speed, his off-ball maneuvering. I think he's a perfect fit. But obviously, you need a little bit more help there in the backcourt. So I'm taking a guy who probably did not spend nearly enough time with Miami, but who had immense potential, particularly in today's type of NBA. I think Steve Smith is my shooting guard. Incredible length, really great passing ability. I think we saw a lot of his better assist numbers, I think, when he was with the Hawks and later on with the Trailblazers. But he's a guy who can harass Dwayne Wade, I think, doesn't necessarily have the same kind of physicality, although he was pretty close. Remember, he was a very high draft pick out of Michigan State, a guy who had a lot of potential there. He can rebound. He can shoot from the perimeter. He was a 36% career three-point shooter, really nice passer, gifted scorer. So, again, that complementary piece to Dragic, I think Steve Smith is a really great fit. I had a lot of other guards I could have gone with. Maybe guys will fall later on in the draft, but for me, I think Steve Smith is a nice compliment. Again, a guy with his size, you know, despite Wade's ability to block shots at 6'4 or less, I think Steve Smith might have just a few tricks in his bag where he could possibly take Wade into the low post and score over.
Okay. So then we have some interesting options available. All right, well then, with this pick, I'm going to take... I'm going to take Eric Spoelstra here.
Oh, whoa. I knew you would take Spoelstra.
So I'm taking Eric Spoelstra here because of look at my team. Pat Riley is one of the greatest head coaches of all time. But I know Spoelstra can get the most out of Chris Bosh. I know he can get the most out of my offense now. That's Dwayne Wade, Eddie Jones, and Tim Hardaway. I need a guy who embraces pace and space, who embraces positionless basketball. I have no doubt that Riley could do that, but I have the proof that Spoelstra can do it. Spoelstra is going to be my head coach. It's important that I have him in charge of this and not Riley. So that's who I'm taking with this pick. With my next pick, I'm taking Pat Riley.
Whoa, unfair.
I'm taking Pat Riley to run my organization. I need culture down. I need Pat Riley to be the president of basketball operations. And looking at your team, you have LeBron, who's arguably the best coach already in this draft. I need both good coaches. I need to monopolize here. I need Spoelstra and Riley to run this organization. Only the two of them together could figure out a way to beat LeBron. If you would have let me have Odom, this might have been different. But I'm taking both coaches.
That is really, really unfair. Oh, wow. That is unbelievable. And it's only, as we talked about before our podcast, we can only select people who have been head coaches for the Miami Heat at some point. So I don't have a lot of options. Obviously, Riley and Spoelstra have helmed the team for such a long time. I don't know. I think it's going to hurt you to have wasted a pick on the secondary coach there. But you know what? That's up to you. You build your team your way, which means then that I have a couple picks available to me. So given that we've got a full starting lineup already in place there, we have a starting lineup of Dragic, Steve Smith, LeBron James, Lamar Odom, Alonzo Mourning. I need a little bit more perimeter shooting just in case. And I don't think there's ever been – well, you could make the case one way or the other. But I'm going to take Glenn Rice with the next pick just because Glenn, I think, at his peak when he was with Miami was better than other sharpshooters we've had on our team. So I think Glenn Rice, with his ability to get to the hoop, with his ability to rebound, he's not much of a defensive player, but you bring him off the bench and he's just going to be able to knock 28-footers down with ease. And a guy like Glenn Rice is a really nice compliment. And then I need somebody who can be the glue guy, the person who I think can get everybody to do a little bit more, to really work together as a unit. Since you took the best coaching available, I'm going to have the next best thing to LeBron James, another coach on the floor. I'm taking Shane Battier.
Oh, I hate you. That's a good pick.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, all right. I got to start filling out my roster now because I'm running out of picks.
You gotta get Riley in short shorts. Maybe he can put up a couple layups for you.
So I'm gonna take. I gotta start filling out my roster too. Here's where I take Jamal Mashburn, 6'8", 240. Watered down LeBron James. Is that fair?
I mean, look, he never reached that potential. But when we did our all-time small forwards lineup, I mean, he could have played a number of positions in today's league. You probably could put him at center, you know. Yes. I think he would be a great addition there. He's a really good underrated three-point shooter, really nice back-to-the-basket moves, and a hell of a passer as well.
Yep, 37% three-point shooter, 16 points a game, 5.2 rebounds, 3.4 assists. Those were averages when he was with the Heat. That's who I – at 6'8", 240, I think he's my best option to body up LeBron. So that's who I'm going to go with there. I actually wanted to get Battier to defend LeBron, but I guess Mashburn would fare just as well. Especially when LeBron wants to get into the post. So I'm going to take Mashburn here. And then, what pick are we on now? 15? So with the 15th pick, I'm going to grab... How many more picks do I have? 1, 2, 3, 4?
You got 4 more picks.
I've got to be smart here. All right, I'm going to go with Shaquille O'Neal here.
Oh, good choice.
So I've got good Shaq, choice. And this is why I was willing to pass on the morning with the third pick, is I knew Shaq was sitting there. I could still get Shaq. He was an MVP candidate when he was with Miami those first couple of years.
No doubt.
He's a better passer than Alonzo Mourning ever was. I mean, Shaq was probably not the greatest passer at center ever, but certainly the greatest dominant center at passing. If that makes sense. It probably doesn't. But that's what I'm saying. He averaged more than two assists a game when he was at Miami. He's, I mean, just tremendous court vision. The complete opposite of Hassan Whiteside. If I've got Shaq at center, now I'm going to move. I think that's my starting lineup. Is I've got Hardaway, Dwayne Wade, Eddie Jones, Chris Bosh, and Shaq. And I've got Jamal Mashburn as my sixth man. I could bring in Mashburn and play him at power forward, move Bosh down to center, and space the floor, and try to get Alonzo Mourning and Odom off the court for you. That's my strategy so far. So that's what I've got.
Okay. Jamal Mashburn and Shaquille O'Neal. Those are some really good options. I'm kind of hard-pressed now because you hurt me with the Mash take. He was a guy I really wanted to build around. But I guess I can't really do too much about that. So I'm taking a guy who I think showed incredible versatility there and has the heft to at least body up on Shaquille, if not necessarily limit him. Nobody really could limit Shaq, even when he was with Miami. I think he wasn't necessarily drawing triple teams the way he was with the Lakers, but there were a lot of moments where it was pretty damn close. So I'm taking a guy who played at an all-star level, his only all-star season. It was the only 1 year he spent here in Miami, and he was incredible. A guy who made Alonzo Mourning not necessarily superfluous, but not necessarily as missed as much when he was dealing with his kidney issues. I'm taking Anthony Mason with this pick. Ooh. Yeah, Anthony Mason, a guy who I think had underrated passing ability, really strong, really good in the low post. His jumper's a little wonky, so you don't necessarily want him hoisting it from 15 feet. But again, I think if you're going to put Shaq in there, you can throw another body in there. Mason was certainly up to it. It's just too bad he couldn't play for Pat Riley, who he loved playing for in New York and in Miami. But what are you going to do? So I got Mason here, and I'm looking at my team, and I think I'm just going to continue to add a little bit more shooting. I'm taking Ray Allen with this pick.
Really good pick. Yeah, that explains itself. So you've got quite the team right now. I've got two more picks, right, and then I'm done?
No, you've got three more.
I've got three more picks. All right. So I can go a few different ways here. I think I need more size, but I also think I need more perimeter help. I could go with PJ Brown here. Nice mid-range shooter, 6'11", 220. He could defend fours. He could defend fives, but I don't know if he could defend your fives. I wonder if, do you think PJ Brown could play small forward in today's NBA? Probably not.
No. He'd be a great center.
He'd be a good center. Yeah.
I mean, he was 6'11", I think is what he was. Yeah. I think he was taller than Alonzo. Alonzo Mourning was 6'9", even though I think they listed him at 6'10", 6'11" in some places. But he was probably closer to 6'9". PJ was legitimately taller than him. Lanky, had that really nice baseline jumper from up to 14 feet away. He's a very good option.
Yeah, that said, I don't think I'm going to go with him. I think here's where I go. All right. It's going to get weird. I'm going with Damon Jones.
The three-point shootist.
Yes, the three-point shooting specialist. Damon Jones played just one season with the Heat in 2004-2005, but he hit 225 threes that year. That is still a Heat record. He made 43.2% of 6.4 three-pointers a game. Today, he'd shoot 12 threes a game on this team, and he'd still hit 40% the way he was shooting that year. I have Tim Hardaway and Damon Jones on one roster. I'm loading up on three-point shooting. That's the only way I'm going to beat LeBron. It's the only way Spoelstra wants to play. I get Damon Jones, and I need more three-point shooting. I need more defense. You took Shane Battier. I'm taking Bruce Bowen.
Oh, that's a rough one. That is a rough one.
I'm taking Bruce Bowen. Look, this is Bruce Bowen, right? He is the inventor of the three and D position. Originally drafted by the Heat, made his way back to Miami, played a really solid two seasons. Tremendous defender, tremendous length. I think he gives me a chance between Mashburn, Bowen, and Eddie Jones. Look, you took Odom. Odom was my LeBron answer. But between Jones, Bowen, and Mashburn, I think I could throw enough bodies at LeBron.
Wow. So just a quick rundown. Your team currently consists of Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Eddie Jones, Tim Hardaway, Mashburn, Shaquille O'Neal, Damon Jones, and Bruce Bowen, along with the two-pronged front office of Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley.
Mm-hmm.
So my team is LeBron, Lamar Odom, Alonzo Mourning, Goran Dragic, Steve Smith, Glenn Rice, Shane Battier, Anthony Mason, and Ray Allen. So I've got two picks left. Not a lot of options as far as head coach is concerned. Let me do a quick rundown of what you've got available here.
I mean, you really don't have any options for head coach.
No, I don't. But I can use him. I can use my last pick in the draft to take him. I'm trying to think what would be the best answer for some of the guys you've got on your team. You've got some good 3-point shooting there. I'm going to need somebody who's a versatile defender. Ooh, God, this really creeped up on me here. Really creeped up on me. It's tough. It's tougher than you'd think.
This is really hard, yeah.
I mean, we could expand the rosters to 15 if you want to make it interesting.
I think it's already interesting. I like this. I think, look, we've got a rotate. We've got, I'm going to end up with a 9-man rotation because I took two coaches, but you're going to have a 10-man rotation. I think that's plenty to figure out whose team is better.
You know what? I'm gonna throw everybody off for a loop here. I'm appointing LeBron James the first player coach.
Oh no, that is the Trump card. Oh, I was afraid you were gonna do that. No,
LeBron James will be my player coach. The encyclopedic memory.
That was the move.
He's going to be able to designate. He knows Wade's game in and out. I think he's got an answer for everybody there. He can make the most. He gets everybody to play at the same level. Sure, there are things that you have to take into consideration, but I think the guys that we've got on the team there will certainly go to battle for him. But speaking of going to battle, nobody better to go to battle with than Udonis Haslem. He's going to be my 10th player chosen. Not much, you know, you think of him now, he's not necessarily the best player, but I'm talking early Udonis Haslem, who could drive to the rim, who could rebound over bigger players, a guy who could probably play anywhere from 3 through 5 in today's game. And of course, just the attitude. And I'm sorry, I not that it needs any mentioning, but Udonis Haslem with cornrows, of course.
Oh, obviously. Yeah. So, always throwing his mouthpiece.
Yeah.
So you got another pick, right?
Yes, I do have. I have one pick left, and this is a tough one. There are options here. I'm worried that we don't necessarily have that. My roster doesn't necessarily have as much ball handling, but we've got LeBron, Lamar.
You've got a lot of ball handling
to handle the ball.
You've got a four out offense. Yeah, and
I don't know.
I'm looking off the bench.
Yeah, it's not bad. Not bad to get a guy like that. You know what? I'm gonna go crazy. Another Heat lifer, even though we only recently discovered it. I'm taking James Johnson.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think he's a guy who can guard your perimeter players. I think he's LeBron James light, so you don't lose anything when he goes off the floor. You can keep some consistency there in the secondary units. So much passing, so much size and versatility there. It's definitely a much bigger lineup than yours is. But I think you've got some guys on my team there who can guard perimeter players, even your shooters like Jones and Bowen. So I think it's a – and look, who's going to mess with a team that's got Anthony Mason, James Johnson, and Udonis Haslem?
I'll tell you what team. My team.
Let me guess. Are you taking Deion or Mario Chalmers?
Look, it's the last pick in the draft. I need a, and this is a, these two teams are very close. They're very close. But I need a guy who's up for the moment. I need a guy who, despite anything and everything that is happening, will remain confident. I need a guy who can make the shot in the final seconds. I need a guy just like that. I need Mario Chalmers.
Oh!
I'm bringing aboard Mario Chalmers. He is making this roster. Mario Chalmers is the final pick of the draft.
He's still going to get yelled at by Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh.
100%. We also need a scapegoat, and that's Mario Chalmers. So that's it. I'll go with my team, and I'll kind of give – this is how we wrap this thing up. I'll go through my team one last time and kind of outline what my plan against you is going to be, and then you can do the same against for me your team against mine. Okay.
Sure.
So my starting lineup is going to be Tim Hardaway, Dwayne Wade, Eddie Jones, Chris Bosh, and Shaq. So that's what I'm going to start with. You've got Alonzo Mourning in the middle. So I'm not going to start small with Bosh at center, but I'm going to get to that pretty quickly. That's going to be my death lineup, is Bosh at center, with probably Jamal Mashburn coming in at power forward and allowing Eddie Jones and Mashburn to kind of just throw those bodies at LeBron. My whole knowing that you were going to pick LeBron first overall, I needed to make sure that I built a roster capable of stopping him. That's why originally I wanted Lamar Odom as my small forward, and I was going to move him down in small ball situations, but you took Odom, so that didn't work. So I do the next best thing. I just get a bunch of bodies. So I've got a bunch of three-point shooting with Hardaway, Jones, and Bosh on the floor. Eventually, I'm gonna take Shaq out. I'm going to bring in Mashburn. There will be situations where I bring in Bruce Bowen and play him at power forward, and I'm playing Chris Bosh at center. As great as Alonzo Mourning was and is, I don't think he can play when Chris Bosh is on the floor. I just don't see a way he could do it. When I have guys like Hardaway, Dwayne Wade, and Eddie Jones that are cutting to the rim, and I've got Damon Jones coming off the bench as the most prolific shooter in Miami Heat history, that's my strategy. I'm just throwing big bodies at LeBron. I'm not too worried about Goran Dragic and Steve Smith because I've got Hardaway and Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade can defend Steve Smith. Hardaway could defend Dragic. I think they, at the very least, they end up canceling each other out. And I think Bosh is able to make up for a lot of any weaknesses I may even have defensively. Shaq is in the middle of the start games. LeBron's not going to be able to start getting downhill early. Then Bosh comes in and spaces the floor. I think Bosh could switch onto LeBron in the post. He could defend any of your perimeter guys. I'm not too worried about it. That's my strategy. And I've got Eric Spoelstra, who can stop LeBron because he knows LeBron. And I've got Pat Riley. Put it, the trickle-down effect of Heat culture. I have Pat Riley, and I think that's going to play a major factor in our series.
You know, I got to be honest with you. You threw me off there. I was expecting you to take Spoelstra, and I was pretty confident that I'd be able to land Riley with the 11th pick there. I thought he'd be a guy that, you know, could maximize LeBron. I thought with guys like Mourning and Haslam on the team, guys who have played and given their all for Riley, I thought it would have been a perfect fit there. But you know what? I think with LeBron James on the roster, we've already seen how involved he is in the locker room. And on the side there, when he gets into the player huddles, he's the guy who really leads the team. Tyronn Lue might call plays. David Blatt might call plays. Even Eric Spoelstra, to some effect, probably had more influence on LeBron than any other coach. But LeBron is really the straw that stirs the drink. So I'm confident with him as our coach, getting the most out of everybody on this roster. These are guys that have either played with him or play similar to him, and I think they'll be able to bond very well there. Plus, you've got Heat lifers like Mourning and Haslam and even James Johnson, guys that really know what it takes, and, of course, a good glue guy like Shane Battier. But overall, I just like the way the roster is constructed, with LeBron obviously being the best player in the league, if not the best player of all time, capable of doing anything and everything. Another versatile player like Lamar Odom. I think Alonzo is so underrated, I think, in the long view, because he's not necessarily the biggest center, or maybe didn't have the kind of individual production that some of the bigger name centers had. But you know what? He's a great rim protector. He's going to body up to Shaq. It was a great rivalry when they were first drafted, and I think it's going to continue to be so. I like the opportunity. I think Shaq is going to be drawn away from the hoop. He's not necessarily going to be an impact player. And you've got guys like Dragic and James who can cut to the rim. Even Lamar Odom can cut to the rim. Steve Smith was a really good low post player. So with Shaq drawn away there, I think this team has a really good opportunity at scoring at the rim. And if not, you're bringing three-point shooter extraordinaires like Glenn Rice and Ray Allen. These are the guys that are arguably the best three-point shooters in Heat history, and they're both on the same team. I mean, there's not a spot on the floor that you can't connect from. I mean, if you get Glenn Rice in there for some significant minutes at small forward, he can even play a little shooting guard, maybe even a little power forward if you want to switch things around a little bit. But then you bring Ray Allen in there to ice the game. That's one of the best free throw shooters in NBA history. And then you got more size and versatility with Anthony Mason and James Johnson, both of which played, well, at least in Mason's case specifically, at an all-star level. Great passers, guys that can dive to the rim, and in Johnson's case, hit from the outside. And the ultimate leader in Haslam. I think it's just the best, most balanced team. Maybe not as small as yours, maybe not as perimeter-oriented, but you still had some great three-point shooting, some great versatility, playmaking, and defense.
All right, well, let us know what you guys, what team you guys think would win going head-to-head. Don't forget that I have Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley. It's really important. other than that, that's all we have for today. Whether you're listening on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, thank you for listening. Send mailbag questions or get information about advertising on the show by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. And to support the show, make sure you download every episode and follow Locked On Heat on Twitter. If you're not subscribed already, please do so to get the podcast automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. It helps people discover the show, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.